Okay, you're very welcome back to the 9 till noon show after the break. We're joined in studio by Colin Kilpatrick now. Colin, a very good morning to you. Thank you so much for calling in.
Morning, Greg.
It's good to have you with us. Now, Trucking for Chrysler will take place on Saturday, February 4th, meeting at Bernard Long and Sons Transporter Yard in Ballybuffet at 1 p.m. sharp. And we'll talk more about that and how you can register your lorry and everything else that's coming up as well. This is the new bank holiday you told me just before we came on
that's
air,
right,
isn't
that's
it?
Right, yeah.
So it's a nice long weekend for people.
Yeah.
Right, Colin, I mean, you know, obviously... lots of people want as much as they can to do events or what have you to support Chrysler, the people of Chrysler, following the awful, awful tragedy. But this is something that's particularly close to you, Colin, isn't it?
Very, very close to my heart, yeah.
So you were one of the first on the scene on that day of the tragedy.
I was, yeah.
How clear is it in your mind, or what do you remember of...
Oh, it's there. I can see everything. Like it's still very clear. It's very raw.
You were delivering in the area at the time of the explosion, so you witnessed the explosion.
I did. I was just across the road there in the homeland, so it's not that far away.
And obviously, it became clear very quickly that this was a very serious incident.
Yeah. First of all, I thought it was a tire or you know something on the lorry, but. Just looked up and seen what happened.
Yeah, and we're not going to focus too much on that, but I also want people to recognise that, you know, you didn't hop in the lorry and go on about your business. You went straight into action to try and save people, to rescue people.
I did, yeah. Well, I ran up to see, you know, to see what was happening, and it just had never ended from there. I was there right through to the end.
So you helped people as much as you could escape the rubble. And then you took on a role of driving then as well. What
That's
were you
doing? Right. The guys at Muckey sent up lorries to take away the rubble. And I would know that family. That'd be the only family I would have known in Chrysler. And it just happened. I jumped onto one of the lorries, took it around the back. And we were asked then by the firemen, you know, could we stay on? They needed help, like, and I'd ended up through the night. I drove that lorry then.
Mm. And that was that was just a solid 24 hours for you.
It was, when I got back into my own lorry, it was 23 hours and 56 minutes. Mm. I can remember that on the time. So it was 24 hours.
And it so quickly became clear that this was a horrific tragedy.
Oh, yeah, straight away. You were taking it step by step and doing as much as you can. I suppose maybe half an hour into it, you realised how severe it was.
And because it was of our local community, you know, we sometimes see these things on, you know, on TV or you read about them in a newspaper or what have you, but, you know, this was our local community. It was local people affected for the most part. And, you know, the people waiting on news in the local area, it was an amazing response from the likes of yourselves and others in the emergency services, but it was also just unbelievably raw and real seeing people going through that awful process of waiting on news or finding out news or...
Yeah, like, there was people there, as I say, I'm not from the area, but you realised a few years on that was actually the families and, you know, that was tough to know that the families were there and they were waiting. That would have been the hardest part, like, you know.
Yeah. So with everything that you've witnessed, for everything that you did, and I'm sure the people of Chrysler and all those affected, not just from Chrysler, impacted by this, are so grateful to you and all the others. Because early on, Colin, you know, it wasn't clear how safe what you were doing was either. We should never forget that, of course, because this was a petrol station, so there was an element of risk in you trying to help getting people out of there.
That was the fear, like, you know, it was on my mind about the petrol, and only then later you realise how safe under the ground the petrol tanks are, but at that time I had no idea. That was a fear, like.
Do you ever ask, like, what was it in it, what was in you? I don't know if you've ever you had to respond to anything even remotely like this in the past, but do you know what sort of kicked in you that sort of made you, you know, run to the scene rather than run from it that gave you the energy to work as you did for the next 24 hours?
Well, maybe when you're on the road you see accidents and things like that, and you would see different things, but I would say maybe it's being a father would have been the thing that made me rush into it, you know.
Just imagine if it was one of yours.
Well, this is it, like, you know, and you know that if it was the other way about, it would be the same. You would get, you know, if it was your child in there, somebody would help as well, like.
Now, when did you decide that you wanted to do the trucking for Chrysler event?
Soon after it, the man I worked for, Bernard, we spoke about it, and because we're highly involved in lorries, you know, lorries, a run was a kind of an idea that came up first, and we said we'll let it sit there after Christmas, you know, it was as early, like, too soon, but it wasn't long after the whole thing we did speak about it, and he's behind me 100%, he's helping.
That's Bernard Long and Sons Transporter.
Bernard Long and Sons Transport, yeah.
Right, okay, so then you start to put these things together, and did you realise there was going to be as much work and organisation in it as often the turns out to be, I wonder, Colin?
I didn't think too much about it. The work and the effort's not a problem. I'm just overwhelmed by the support. We're holding an auction, you see, and there's some great stuff donated straight away without a question. Like the lorry man, you ring a lorry man, you tell him the story. Bernard would ring and tell me the story, why we're doing it, and whatever you want, you'll get.
I mean, there's over 70 lorries already registered.
There would be 100 now at the moment.
Really? That's huge. So anyone out there with a lorry, it's €30 to register per lorry. And the procession takes off from the Bernard Long & Sons Transporter Yard in Ballybofey. It's at 1 p.m. sharp on February the 4th, isn't it? Do people register their lorries before we talk about what else is happening?
Well, you can just land on the day. There will be somebody there to take the money off you. So you can ring me if you want. You can let me know just so we have an idea what's coming. As well, any business that has a lorry, it doesn't have to be, you know, a big lorry, an Arctic lorry. It can be a small lorry. Yeah. You know, we're getting them as well. So just land on the... Like, people from Letterkenny, surrounding areas, can go to the Apple Green instead of going to Ballybofey, because we are making the run to Chrysler to get Chrysler involved. And we didn't want to ask everybody to come as far as...
Yeah, so you can pick people up on the way to save them doubling back on themselves.
Exactly. And Apple Green, you know, they're more than helpful, and whatever we want, we'll get, you know, and they're going to be there on the day to extra staff, and the parking and Apple Green will be there as well. Like, so there's no problem coming to Letterkenny if you want as well.
Right. So for those who want to join in Ballybofey, it's at Saturday, February the 4th. It's a meeting at the Bernard Long and Sons Transporter Yard in Ballybofey at 1 p.m. Sharp. You can register on the day. Following registration, Colin, who's with us here, will lead the parade of trucks to Chrysler before they make their way back to the Silver Tassie Hotel for an auction, followed by a dance. We'll talk about the dance in a second. What kind of stuff has been donated for the auction?
A lot of great stuff. We have rally experiences. We have, what else? We have tools, compressors, model lorries, coal, oil. We've got sheep. I've got a lamb. I got a text yesterday. I have a lamb here for you. Hay, straw, you know, there's something for everybody there. There's a lot of stuff, new tyres, things for lorry men, there's stuff for farmers. There's going to be like weekends away for the, you know, you don't have to be a lorry driver or a farmer as well. The weekends away can suit anybody. There will be something for everybody.
Were you surprised at the generosity of people?
Overwhelmed, unreal. Just like an ordinary man that drives a lorry, give me a hay bob, you know, and that's worth a lot of money. Like, that's yours.
Brilliant. Okay. Now that auction is, as we mentioned there, in the Silver Tassie. Then there is a dance, and tickets are €15. Doors open at 7 p.m. Tony Morning's doing the auctioneering on the night.
That's right,
by the way, I should have mentioned. You've mentioned some of the stuff that's there. That's going to be all done and dusted, and then there's a great night of entertainment. The David Craig Band, hugely popular, no doubt about that. And he's some operator, actually, DJ Tubbsy. Yeah. He'll be providing the entertainment alongside some other special guests as well. So there's more surprises to be added on the night.
There's Ronan McGinty. He's Balbofey, local fella, very good country singer. He'll probably be kicking it off for us. Chelsea Evans will be there. Myra McGinley, these are all great singers. And Sasha, Myra's daughter as well. So all great singers and local people, and it's great to have them involved as well.
I think the question really is, Colin, how are you going to pack all this into Saturday the 4th?
It's a lot. From 1 o'clock to hopefully 2 o'clock in the morning, it'll be all go.
Yeah. This has been good for you, this process as well, Colin, I'd imagine, because, you know, you've been through it, and I know I can get the sense off of you, the type that you're not going to in any way say this is about you, that this is about those who lost loved ones, those were injured by it, but it is the likes of you and dozens of others that have a very important part in this whole tragedy.
Yeah, well, anybody that was there, we would all have a special bond. You know, even I'm in contact with some of the families, you have a bond. This is a big help for me as well, surely. It's not about me, it's about the families, but it is helping me. It's something to look forward to, and it's keeping everything going, you know.
Okay. Right. So do you want people to contact you and register in advance, or at the point now is saying turn up on the day? I think if people are joining in, the likes of, as you mentioned, along the route, you know, maybe Letterkenny-based drivers or Drumkeen or wherever it might be, that will want to pick up on the tail of this as it makes its way to Chrysler, do you want them to contact you in advance, Colin?
Well, it would be better. We're getting great support by the guards. We're going to be, you know, they're going to be there and they're going to do the traffic, and it will have to be sharp, so we need to be on time. So if they could contact me and we get a number... The auction as well, it's a public auction, so anybody that wants to come, you know, it'll be good fun, there'll be good stuff there to buy, you know, and the dance, everything's public, like, it's not just for the truckers.
Exactly, and that's it. I mean, obviously, this has a trucker agricultural feel to it, because, you know, that's your right. background, that's where you're pulling in the assistance, but this... you say anyone with a truck can get involved regardless of size or body size, but in terms of the auction itself in the Silver Tassie and the dance and the music on that night, that's open to anyone who wants to have a good night's crack and also support the Chrysler Fund.
Yeah, the families, it's for the families. The families, like, are more than welcome to come too. It's for them. Plus, that's another thing that I meant to say, just if the routes were going on, if people want to stand out and watch it,
that's going to happen, and support it, that's
what we want. Yeah. And if somebody feels like they can't go to the dance because it's too early, if they want to stand out and watch it, we're bringing it to Chrysler to get Chrysler involved. You know, there's families in Dunfanaghy, Letterkenny, we can't just go everywhere, but we're trying to get... where it happened, and because I was there, and just trying to get the Chrysler part of it involved, and, like, there never would have been a truck run through Chrysler, and I think it's going to be a very special, you know, to see it going through.
I think it's going to be something else, and you know yourself, Colin, truck runs, tractor runs, they bring out the big crowds, so this is I think you're going to have the streets lined from Barthershout and Ballybuffet to Chrysler, because it's a nice thing to be part of. And the money raised, you mentioned, anyone supporting this, what are you doing with the money, Colin?
Well, it's for the families. I'm going to try and give it directly to the families and the Chrysler Community Fund, so I'm not going to rush it, you know. We have to gather it first, and it'll be there, and we'll just get it sent to the right people who needs it.
Brilliant. Okay. Well, listen, you've a great head start already. Huge numbers registering. There's going to be a great walk-up crowd as well. And just to emphasise that Colin is saying for the auction and the Silver Tassie on February 4th and the dance that follows afterwards and the entertainment, that's open to absolutely everyone to turn up and bid and also to go and have a dance and enjoy yourselves and support this great cause. Colin, anything else you want to add?
No, that's it. You might come yourself.
I might. Is that an invite?
Well,
can you get me your room?
We need another singer.
Well, listen, come here. Why would I ruin such a positive event, Colin? It sounds like it's going to be great fun. I'd love to be able to get along to.
We have lorries like from Waterford. I've been contacted from Waterford, Clare, Sligo, Belfast, nearly every corner of Ireland. Has contacted me.
And there's a lot of people out there you see that kind of want to do something but feel helpless. Like, well, what can you do?
Well, this is it. Like,
and you're giving them a different group of people an opportunity to say, right, this affected me, even though I'm in Waterford, you know, people with children or not or whatever it is. This is giving those people an opportunity to say, right, I can get involved in something here and feel a part of.
That's what they are saying. Like, that's what they are saying. It's just, it hit home, you know, it hit home with people and. I suppose the trucking community is a community in its own, and they're seeing it, and this is their way to get involved.
Right, brilliant stuff. Okay, how do people contact you in advance, Colin? Do you want us to hold on to your mobile number?
You can do, yeah.
And we'll pass it out rather than read it out.
It's on Facebook. It's on an event on Facebook, Trucking for Chrysler. My number's there. Bernard Longinson, you can contact him. I've helped there from the drivers as well, Dean and. I've a help from a lot of people, like, you know, Jared Higgerty, Raymond Devaney, they're all going to help. They're going to be in the Applegreen and Letterkenny. I've men there. So the word on the trucking side of it, everybody kind of knows. It's just the public.
Exactly.
It's the public because.
And this thing is growing. This thing has become something maybe beyond what you organised.
Well, it is already. It is already. Like the donations, as in, you know, for auction, I'm overwhelmed by what I've got already, so I'd like, if it keeps coming again, we'll be happy.
Right, and if anyone else wants to contribute logistically, I suppose, in terms of, you know, items for auction or whatever, we'll give them your mobile number as well.
I presume
you'll appreciate everything that people have. All right, so put this date in your diary one more time for you folks. Saturday, February the 4th. If you're a truck lorry driver out there, you want to get involved in the Trucking for Chrysler, in actually making your way from the yard to Chrysler or picking up with the procession on its way. You're open to do that. You're invited to do that. And we have Colin's number for you. Maybe you want to donate something for... something significant for the auction. We have Colin's number for you here as well. And also, if you want to go and have a great night's crack at the Silver Tassie, it's a wonderful venue there. The auction's taking place there and the dance. Tickets are €15. Doors open at 7 p.m. Tony Morning is doing the auctioneering, and David Craig Band, DJ Tubbs, and a whole host of other brilliant artists are... performing. We'd like to thank Colin for all he has done. He is honest and a genuine person who risked his own safety in life. We will never forget him and people like him. Colin is just a sample of the messages that are coming through. I think you know what you did and its importance to people.
Oh yeah. Like, a lot of people have reached out to me, and it's lovely to hear, you know, and this here will be part of it as well, you know.
Yeah. Well, lots of people said we had to get you on, and we always intended to. They said you were a lovely fellow, Colin.
Aye.
So you do, well, whatever you do.
That's good news.
Whatever you do, you keep doing it. All right. Hey, come here. Congratulations on what you're doing so far. It's going to be huge. And fair play to you, Colin.
Thanks,
appreciate you taking your time over your morning, to come in here. All right, please, if you can support that and support Colin and his crew, please do. We'll remind you of the details closer to the event as well. But it's a great way to spend this brand new bank holiday Monday, early February. Very pleased to welcome back onto the programme Brian Cannon, Director of Roads and Transportation with Donegal County Council. Brian, good morning to you.
Morning, Greg.
Right, so what's the picture out there overnight this morning and I suppose up to the current time on the roads, Brian?
Well, again, our crews were out last night and from early this morning as well, Greg, across our 21 routes. In general, on our gridded routes, conditions are passable. Some areas at slightly higher elevation, the Lahey Pettigo Road this morning was a wee bit more troublesome. But in general, the gridded routes are passable. Again, off the gridded routes, road conditions are still... icy and
I think in a way they're slightly a little bit worse, because yesterday morning, from what I saw anyway and what I was being told, it was honest snow sort of a thing. Now there's been bits of rain overnight or a little bit of thawing, then a little bit of freezing. So I think in some ways, in some cases, the back roads were a little bit worse this morning maybe than they might have been yesterday morning. Now, the weather advisory is in place until Friday for us here, so we can, I'm not sure in terms of snowfall or what have you, Brian, but in terms of travelling and the roads and what your crews are going to have to do, it's going to remain a busy rest of the week.
Absolutely, Greg, and in particular in the Finn Valley, I would suggest that there is an element of thaw this morning, but there's low temperatures again predicted this evening and overnight, which will lead to quite icy stretches in many places, both you know, in particular off the gridded routes, but in on the gridded routes where you have a bit of thaw and you've run on water, it can wash the salt off the road, so we can't predict or can't presume any road is ice free. And then that pattern is likely continue through tomorrow and into Friday morning, with that freeze thaw, where you're going to have the water particularly freezing in different locations across the road network.
Yeah, so I think us as motorists have to exercise extreme caution, even on treated routes, because, you know, it could be treated at 8, we could be on the road at 10 or whatever. So you just have to presume, you know, that no road is ice free.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, if you can choose a gridded route, even if it's slightly longer for your route, if you have to travel, then do that. Definitely.
You've a wee bee in your bonnet about us trying to take shortcuts that you aren't treating, haven't you? Tell the truth, Brian.
Well, yeah, we can't treat every road, and
no, I know,
I said, it's 1,100 kilometres. There are options there, and
go the long way round. You're saying
Christmas, there were people taking shortcuts where maybe there was other options available and getting stuck in mountain rescue coming out. So if you can choose, and listen, there are loads of people that can't. In particular, choose a gridded route, but obviously then they'll just have to exercise extreme caution on those untreated gridded routes.
And it's a human condition. I think we've all done it at some stage. You say, well, stuff it, it'll save 10 minutes, and next thing you're stuck and you're taking up the resources of the emergency services or something. So it's a valid point. I do take that. But as I say, you know, yous can only do so much. We have to do our bit and just presume that no road is ice free. And Brian's explained there how even a road that's just been treated, that can be, you know, running water or something that can wash the aggregate or the salt off, and then you could have that thaw freeze situation. Alright, well listen, obviously we're going to be keeping everyone up to date throughout the day on the programmes and through the council's social media and all that type of stuff. But this is the weather, maybe not snow lying everywhere, but it's going to be cold until Friday. That's what we're being told. Right, first hour of the show happened upon these crossings, zebra crossings in Ballybofey and Stranorlar. And I think it kind of breaks into two parts here, Brian. I think we can probably learn to live with the majority of them, but there's particularly a particular concern about the zebra crossing at the bank. And I get that too. You've got a crossing between two yellow boxes. You've got traffic coming from behind for a pedestrian, flying down from the right, whether it should or not, coming up from the left, and people exiting and entering a car park opposite. I mean, is this the norm now, or are we still in a pilot situation? Or what's your view on these crossings?
Yeah, we're in a pilot phase, Greg, here. There's a number of locations that have been selected around the country by TAA to run this pilot programme. That pilot programme has recently been supported by a change in legislation in relation to not requiring a sign or flashing beacons at a zebra crossing.
Before you move on, can you understand the logic of that? Because we have zebra crossings, right, which are pretty much established across the globe. Pedestrians understand them, motorists understand them. Why would we pass legislation to have something that's kind of like a zebra crossing, operates like a zebra crossing but doesn't look like a zebra crossing, and then 50 yards up the road there is a proper zebra crossing? Do you know why would we be tinkering with that, particularly in sort of urban areas? Why reinvent the wheel?
Yeah, well, as you said, Greg, there are zebra crossings right throughout the country, but also right across the world we've travelled. They do come in different forms. In other countries, the Belisha beacon type crossings are not common. In many cases, it is without the Belisha beacon, and these crossings that are being trialled in the Twin Towns as part of the pilot are to re- be an alternative to the Belisha Beacon type crossing. I suppose if we look at the Twin Towns in general, there's about 1.2 kilometres from Glenfinn Street Junction all the way over to McLeay's Corner. And that over that period, there's actually three controlled crossings. There's one at McElhinney's, there's one outside the old Finn Valley College, and there's a set at McLeay's Corner at that location. Now, as we know, pedestrians, and we talked about taking shortcuts in relation to snow, pedestrians, their desire lines will cross in multiple locations throughout the town. And in some cases, people are coming out onto the road between parked cars to try and cross roads, maybe taking diagonal routes across, actually crossing longer, etc.
Well, they do that at zebra crossing still, but anyway, I know what the point you're getting to.
Yeah, absolutely. And this pilot, I suppose, is to try and maybe highlight where crossing will take place, to perhaps maybe concentrate crossing in certain areas and to increase the visibility. Now, in relation to the rules of the road, the rules of the road booklet that we all get when we do our driving test, and maybe perhaps we should all reread it every so often as well. Belisha Beacon type crossings, drivers must stop to let you across. As they approach the crossing, they should slow down or be prepared to stop. Mm. But when it comes to pedestrians also have responsibilities when it comes to crossing the road. You know, you don't have the right of way over traffic until you actually step onto the crossing. So you can't just run from the footpath and run across. Never step out onto the crossing if this would cause a driver to brake or to have to swerve suddenly.
Okay, well, let's take the bank then. Let's take the crossing at the bank. You're expecting a pedestrian, and quite rightly so, to monitor four lanes there. They have to make sure traffic is stopped behind them. If they're stepping from the bank, they have to make sure traffic is stopped coming down from Donegal Road. They have to make sure traffic is stopped coming up from McElhenney's, and they have to make sure no one's deciding to pull out of the car park entrance exit opposite them. I don't think the rules of the road were written to expect a pedestrian or a motorist to try and contend with Spaghetti Junction.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily call it a Spaghetti Junction, Greg, but the issue there is a desire line for pedestrians, and if that pedestrian at that high visibility crossing, as they're being referred to, was 50 metres down the road, we would be removing parking bays outside premises where you know you have the bank link, you have other shops there, etc. I would guarantee you're still going to get people crossing.
Two big poles
at Glenfinn Street Junction.
Two big poles with orange flashing lights on the top of them.
Yeah.
Then everyone knows what it is.
Yeah, yeah. Look, and that's part. You know, this is a useful exercise, Greg. And you know, reissuing the press release. It's basically the same press release that went out last June, inviting further submissions now, six months later, getting the feedback. There's been quite a bit of feedback online. There is feedback sought in the press release that went out, info@taa.ie, in relation to the submissions, and all of that will be assessed. If there's improvements required as part of that feedback,
who makes the shout on that? Is it the council or the TII?
Did you say?
Yeah, who considers the submissions and maybe makes changes or otherwise, dependent on what those submissions might be?
Yes, the email address is info@taa.ie. Directly to the TII. However, the TII are progressing this project in partnership with ourselves, but also with the Garda Síochána, the traffic section. And there's been discussion on this in at a forum called the Collision Prevention Programme, where TAA, ourselves, the Garda Síochána, etc., discuss the whole matter of road safety issues. And the council will be part of the assessment process. The submissions will be shared, and we will be able to put our views on that.
Council has published in that press release, they did a survey of people, and overwhelmingly local people, presumably, whoever was on the street at the time, thought it was a good idea. Do you know how many people were surveyed? Were they motorists? Were they pedestrians?
No, I don't have the figures, the actual numbers, but it was a staff member was in the Twin Towns, basically just stopped people as after crossing,
somewhat
asked them
informal
about their views, etc.
Okay, what's the status of the crossings in Donegal Town? What are they like? You know, you've outlined precisely how zebra crossing works in terms of pedestrians and motorists. What's the story with the ones in Donegal Town?
They would be deemed uncontrolled crossings or courtesy crossings, whereby again the pedestrian makes contact with the driver from the curb, and then when there's a agreement between them that the driver has stopped and they proceed, it's a matter of courtesy. And
there's no obligation for the motorist to stop in for those crossings.
Yes, yeah. And look, in reality, our towns and villages are car dominated, and we are moving towards being more friendly for a variety of road users. That includes pedestrians, but also includes cyclists, includes vulnerable road users, wheelchair users, etc. And also, there are other people that just need a bit of extra time at crossings as well. So it's trying to improve.
And we spoke to Cahill earlier on, who would hate to see this furore, if you could call it that. It's probably not. It's probably storming in a teacup. For them all of a sudden then to be removed. I don't think anyone wants that. But I think the consensus that we are receiving, and maybe people who don't like them are more motivated to contact us, and maybe it's not fully representative. I accept that possibly could be the case, though I suspect it's not. I think what pedestrians and motorists want is a fair crack of the whip. That if you have a certain type of zebra crossing very close by, that this other zebra crossing would at least mirror that or mimic it, although we don't have to think so much. You know how we don't want people on their mobile phones when they're driving, because that split second of distraction can cause a problem. So it's just to give us, the pedestrians and the motorists, though I'm more a motorist than a pedestrian, I'll be honest, to give us fair warning. I think that's a wee bit of common sense, Brian. Do you think there should be signs and lights on those crossings, Brian?
Yeah, well, as I say, this is part of the pilot, and it was
assessed. A human person. Take off your council hat, throw it in the fire. Yeah. You're a citizen of this county, and your view is as important as anyone else's in my book, Brian. Do you think that these zebra crossings are a good idea as they are right now?
Well, Greg, I'm on here to represent the Donegal County Council.
Fair enough.
But Donegal County Council is made up of individuals, people that live and breathe, that cross the road.
Our brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles, of course.
Our citizens, our cousins, etc. We all live in Donegal. We're all here to do a job to improve our county. And believe me, myself and our colleagues are very much invested in trying to make improvements. And we do not expect a pat on the back for everything that we do. And we do want to receive feedback, both positive and negative, in a constructive manner. And we're seeing that throughout this process, and we'd encourage people to make their submissions to info@taa.ie and referencing the Bala Buffet pilot project, because we do want to make this to improve. I don't believe that in the Twin Towns we want 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 controlled crossings with traffic lights stopping the traffic.
I've had people step that appeared on them or stepped out, and it's just because it's dark, the lights aren't great in those towns. There's cars coming on, there's cars coming the other direction. There's windscreen wipers growing. You know the situation. It's a reality. We have a terrible climate here at times, and it's just though if they were lit, you could go, all right, that's that person, because they're not going to be necessarily in fluorescent clothes that you would expect on a byroad. They're going to be wearing a dark suit or a long black jacket, because they're only fleeting between shops. And it just doesn't make sense to me that we don't make sure that those people are safe, and that a motorist doesn't have an awful tragedy on their conscience. That's it, Brian. But listen, as you say, it's a process. It's ongoing. One quick one here, back to roads, if you don't mind. I don't like to do specifics with you, because it's impossible to expect you to have knowledge of absolutely everything. It would be completely unfair. But someone says, can the County Council not grit the drive from St. Joseph's Hospital that houses the emergency ambulance base, please? I want to put that one to you, because that seems a bit logical. Are you familiar with that? Do you know if it is or why it's not gritted?
Yeah, it's not currently on our gritting route. The ambulance base moved there I think it's relatively recently, within the last year or thereabouts, and we've had contact from the hospital, and we've gone back to them in relation to particularly difficult times. We can assist on a sort of a call out basis, but it's not currently included on the Gritton programme.
Brian, listen, thanks so much for making yourself available. It's great to have access to someone like you on topics like this, because it's great information for the people. So it is genuinely appreciated, and thank you very much indeed. Brian Callan, Director of Roads and Transport with Donegal County Council. It's a snow day for many of you out there. You're out building your snowmen and snowwomen. Get your submissions in now for the 9 till noon show, Snowman Competition. For the chance to win a 9 till noon cup for the perfect hot chocolate, even with extra marshmallows, of course. If you want to enter, email a photo of your snowman to comments@highlandradio.com to be in with a chance to win. Is it only email or WhatsApp as well? Email only, is it? That's a bit boring. I hate sending pictures via email. Can we do it on WhatsApp? You know, it's such a nightmare. You open the email, you compose the email, then you hit the paper clip, and then you have to go into your gallery and you can't find the picture, and you're afraid you might send a picture of the spot on your forehead that you took for a closer look. That's just my life trying to email a picture. If you want to email your picture, do so. comments@highlandradio.com or WhatsApp it to us, which would what I would do, to be honest. 086 60 25,000. And come here, you know, if you already sent it in to John or David or someone else, just send it in again. They're not going to notice. All snowmen and women look the same, don't they? Get involved, get yourself a 9 till noon show mug. Are they back in stock, Caroline? Did you find one? You didn't find one. New stock is due to arrive of the limited edition. They're so limited that we had to get more of them because they were so popular. So what we want to do, what we want to see is your pictures of what snowmen or whatever you've built today or yesterday. Email comments@highlandradio.com or WhatsApp them into 086 60 25,000, and one of you will win a 9 till noon show mug. Second prize, 3 mugs. No, I'm only joking. Greg, thank you so much for highlighting the untreated road situation up Burt Bray and the knock-on effect of no home help. We received a call from Home Help Coordinator and have been advised that a home help will be up in the afternoon for one visit with Civil Defence. It's a pity this isn't standard for HSC winter plan every year like it used to be. But look, it, a win's a win. So that's good news, isn't it? So the people that need that help will get it today. Thank you for highlighting it with us. And that's how we make differences here, because we work together and raise issues. Cara House Meal Delivery Service will not be operating today. Creaselot Day Centre will be closed today. And the ATU Donegal Open Evening has been rescheduled to 4 to 7pm on Wednesday the 25th of January due to the current weather. I'll read more of that out, but I have to take a break because we're heading towards the news. Lots coming up in the last hour of the show.